elders here at Stutzelsville. Please bear with my scratchy voice. I'll get into that in just a moment. My last message that I will build off of and kind of link some of the messages. My last message was a heart for the lost, a worshipful heart, and a mentor's heart. Before I begin today's message, I would like to thank Thomas for his powerful personal testimony. Praise God that he can transform lives, that is truly can transform hearts and minds. I would also like to thank Fred for his message last week of encouragement to get up off the bench, pick up the baton, and run the race, and run and win the race for that God has called us to do. Today's message is the power of prayer and learning to pray, which is instrumental in Christ Church at Stutzelsville. Please join me in the opening prayer. Dear Lord, open our eyes that we may see your vision for Stutzelsville Chapel. Please help us to discern your will as we move forward in the pastoral search process. We especially lift up our leaders in our nation, leaders in our community, and leaders in our church during this time. We pray that we all will listen, take time to reflect in your word as we move forward in 2024. We give you thanks that you can create a spiritual transformation in our lives. As we took communion today, please help us reflect what Jesus' sacrifice was for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. So, of course, I have to have an automotive metaphor somewhere in my talk. Many of you don't know, or maybe some know, that I did a road trip to Texas. And it was a wonderful road trip. It was full of prayer. And it was full of not only prayer, but the Holy Spirit watching over us. We start, Elizabeth and I start each of our days and conclude our day with prayer. And truly, if you've watched what has happened in Texas this week, God was watching all around us and kept us from harm. But more importantly, prayer is not a spare wheel that you pull out and put it on when you're in trouble. And no, we didn't have any flat tires. It is the steering wheel that guides you through your life. And that road is windy. It has some sharp curves in it. But it is, prayer is what gets you through life and your pathway through life. We were truly blessed to experience the engagement of our daughter in Texas this past week, so that's exciting. So prayer is a powerful part of every Christian community, and what a powerful day of prayer we had. Everything's running together, I want to say, last week, where we had, what was it, 17, how many hours of prayer? 17 hours of prayer? 19 hours of prayer. And in some cases, we had up to 6 people praying. And I thought, gosh, you know, I'm drawing closer to God in my prayer. You know, part of the time I prayed up in the swing, the child's playground. You know, I was praying for the children's ministry. But it gave me the opportunity to clear my mind and pray for this community and really pray for the lost. That's what we're praying for. What can we do to make this church more relevant and draw people to Christ? A big thank you for all the prayer warriors that participated. And a big thank you, Melissa. Your prayer bulletin was instrumental Those are available through contacting the church office. But we greatly appreciate it as we can pray for all these different needs in our community, for our church. And I don't see Tom here today, but continuing on, Tom is opening the church every Sunday for weekly prayer here at Stutz. And of course, I mentioned the prayer. We need to keep our ongoing pastoral search team and the pastoral search process in our prayers as well. So let's go to the next slide. So prayer is often defined as talking to God, but it's so much more than that. Prayer is the act of worship that glorifies God, and reinforces our need for him. And I kind of equate that to a worshipful heart. Through living a life of prayer, we put our beliefs and our spiritual gifts into motion, and we respond to Christ's work of salvation as we communicate the various source of our existence. So why should we pray? Several truths will help illustrate why we need prayer in their lives. The first is we're commanded to pray. Multiple times that we read that we're to be in continual prayer. And in Luke, Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So Elizabeth, could you read the first scripture?
1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Could we go to the next slide, continuing along?
Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 6:18-19. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me whenever I speak. Words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel.
So as we think about praying, and I really thought about this a lot last week during the prayer time, is, you know, you kind of get on a roll, and then you go through and you may have, you know, get to a point and say, well, what's God laying on my heart? What is the Holy Spirit calling me to pray about? And you may actually end up praying on something that you never had written down. It was kind of easy to go through the things I knew we needed to pray about as a church, as a community, pray for those who don't know Jesus. But all of a sudden, something else comes into God, and the Holy Spirit lays something else on your heart to pray about that maybe you hadn't even thought about. But opening your minds to listen to the Holy Spirit is instrumental. The next slide, prayer gives God, all the glory. So prayer is a way to serve God. Through prayer, we will have the opportunity to glorify and praise him for all he has done and will do through our lives and for the world. So, Elizabeth, could you read the next?
Luke 2:36-38. There was also a prophet, Anna, and the daughter of Penuela of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Next slide. It helps us to overcome. Jesus tells Peter to pray for strength in overcoming temptation. Jesus demonstrates the importance of prayer in making major decisions. Prayer helps us face and overcome all kinds of struggles.
26:41. Watch and pray so that you not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke 6:12-13. One of those days, Jesus went out into the mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles.
So prayer is our opportunity. Let's go to the next slide, to bring requests to God and ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and we find. Knock and it will be open to you. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7. This does not mean that we will be granted anything we ask for, but when we ask for things that are in God's will, he will give us those things.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have, what we ask of him.
So as I kind of thought about this and researched this and kind of prayed over this, well, would God give me the numbers, the magic numbers of the lotto? The answer is no. But Jesus is not our cosmic vending machine. So I had this thought, you know, as I'm trying to prepare this, I don't know where in my route I was, somewhere in Arkansas probably, and I thought about this Ricky Bobby Jesus, and I thought about people thinking, hey, if I pray hard enough, if I work hard enough, if I give enough, Jesus will give me anything to satisfy my human needs. And that's not true. You can't work hard enough. You can't pray hard enough. If you want something for your personal needs, Jesus is not a spiritual Santa Claus. So as I was kind of drawing reflection on these scriptures and thinking about this, God wants to bless each and every one of his children, doesn't he? God wants to bless each and every one of his children. And that includes everybody here. Everybody that has Jesus in their heart. We can and do have the power of God working inside all of us. We can and do have the power of God working inside all of us. But that doesn't mean he's going to pad our bank account. You know, maybe he's not going to fix all our relationships. And it may not be that he will heal all sickness or prevent us from struggling. You know, one thing that I've learned as I spend more time in the Word is really trying to reflect on this, what this means, you know, to me. And I think about, we still have the power of Jesus that rose from the grave, living inside of us, walking along every struggle that we go through. We have the power of the risen Jesus inside of us on every struggle, every right turn that we may have, every potential decision, walking beside me and helping me on each of and every journey. So let's go to the next slide. You've heard my earlier message on discerning God's will. I just wanted to put in, Jesus prayed continually to the Father for guidance. We need to continually pray to the Father for guidance so we can too begin to understand Jesus' will for us. And when we stay in communion and in connection with Him, that power of prayer for understanding and spiritual growth and unity with God, our prayer does not change God. Our prayer changes us. Our prayer changes the one who's praying to God. God is who He is. But through prayer, we are drawn closer to God. So let's go to the next slide. So how do we pray? Paul encourages us to pray for everything with a thankful heart. When we are open and present to all of Him, He will protect us with His peace. This passage captures the heart and mind we should have when we pray. So Elizabeth, could you read this?
Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
So what if we can't find the right words when we pray? I struggle with that. I thought I was on a roll, sitting up in that swing set, praying for the community, praying for the lost. And then I kind of hit, okay, well, what am I going to pray about next? You know, the Holy Spirit, if we're listening to the Holy Spirit will speak to us and help us in our weakness. For I just think about, I wrote down, Paul writes in Romans 8, 26 and 27, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us. Now He who searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. As Christians, the Spirit intercedes on our behalf during prayer. So let's go to the next slide. A life of prayer. That's what Christians are called to do. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Prayer should reflect the relationship we have in God. After all, it is beautiful to think that we have been given the ability to communicate directly with Him. In any moment and from any place, we can thank Him, ask for His strength, discern His will, and become more like Christ.
To you.
So I've tried to have a little bit of fun. You know, I was in the Southwest. You know, I like spicy food and Mexican food, there's nothing like Mexican food from Arizona. And then secondly, Texas is okay. But I thought, well, gosh, how do we draw analogy to food, which we all do so great? And I was thinking, well, how come I didn't think of this for Cinco de Mayo when we had the celebration? But, you know, think about tacos, right? Thanksgiving, adoration, confession, others, and then I put self. But self could be also silence. You know, we pray in silence. So let's go through these. Thanksgiving, expressing a gratitude to God. Give thanks to the Lord for all he has done and all he's going through. I'm just thinking about tacos with that. What is that sauce you get, that special hot sauce you got? Yellow Bird habanero sauce. That's what is going through my mind right now. The next slide is adoration. Show love and worship for God. Give praise. We need to give praise for God in adoration for his almighty authority. So once again, adoration. The next one, confession. Admit sins and seek forgiveness. You know, sometimes for me, that's a daily issue. You know, I thought it was on such a good roll, and, you know, I got this little raspy throat, and it was like, well, I wasn't being nice and treating my spouse in a loving way on my final leg of my journey. I was so focused, hey, what do I need to do to get home? But we need to go to the Lord in confession. We need to say, I've fallen short. I need to do better. And confess your sin and guilt before the Lord. And that, for me, part of communion is prayer and reflection on that, especially during that time. So confession is very important. We need to pray for others. We need to pray for not only everybody here, we need to pray for those in our community that don't know Jesus. So when we're praying, you know, I think of the bulletin, all the prayer needs in our bulletin. Think about, are we praying for those people? And it's a blessing to have Eugene here today. I just, as I look out, it's just, we need to be praying and lifting up to God these needs in our community. And we can reach people for Christ by caring for people. And the others is self. Talk silently to God about your personal matters. Pray for yourself. Pray, how can I be a better Christian? How can I be a better father? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better wife? How can I reach people for the Lord? And am I living my life in accordance with what God is calling me to do? So, in closing, thank you for bearing with me as my voice has been pretty raspy. In closing, I just want to always draw back to praying for the lost, that they will come into a relationship with you and discover everlasting life. So as I always think about every message, what can we do to those who what can we do to reach those who do not yet know Christ? And how can we invite those to speak to one of our leaders who can share the grace, the peace, and the salvation that comes from knowing you and having a personal relationship with our Lord. Please join me in a closing prayer. Lord, thank you for the power of prayer to draw us closer to you. We continue to pray for tomorrow and where God is leading us in the future. Help us consider what tomorrow could look like with the Holy Spirit working in our lives and in our church, drawing people to Christ, and at the same time, caring and nurturing one another. We continue to pray for our future pastor as well. Lord, embolden us and give us courage and knowledge to share the good news within our community. Give us wisdom for every decision we make. Help us grow and grow us through a spiritual transformation. We ask that your glory, power, and wisdom be with each and every one here today as we move this church forward to great things in 2024. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.